You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
Maharashtra became the fifth state to withdraw its general consent to the CBI or the Central Bureau of Investigation to operate within its territory. Why would it do this? Well, the government order doesn't specify any reason per se, but it does come close on the heels of the CBI starting its own probe into the TRP manipulation scam following a reference from the Uttar Pradesh government. 2 months back, if you remember, the handing over of the Sushant Singh Rajput case to the CBI from the Mumbai police had sparked a big row between the Maharashtra government and the BJP. And the way things played out back then had led to speculation that the TRP scam case might be going the same way, taken away from the Mumbai police and given to the CBI at the BJP's behest. But does the withdrawal of consent by the Maharashtra government actually prevent that from happening? What does this mean for the TRP scam investigation going forward? Will the Mumbai police have to end its investigation into the case? And how much can the denial restrict its operations? To dive into all these questions, I'll be shortly joined by the Quince legal editor, Vakasha Sachdev. You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you. And I'm your host, Shalpuri. Before Maharashtra, a few other opposition ruled states, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, Andhra Pradesh and West Bengal, had withdrawn their general consent to let the CBI investigate cases in their states, though Andhra Pradesh did give its consent again after the Jagan government came to power in 2019. But why does the CBI need permission from a state to probe into a case in the first place? The answer lies in the federal structure under the Constitution. Police and public order are issues that fall within the purview of the state governments, not the centre. The centre only controls the police in union territories and in connection with the railways. Otherwise, investigation of cases is generally supposed to rest with the state governments. Now, the CBI operates under a pre-independence law called the Delhi Special Police Establishment Act of 1946, under which its creation was notified in 1963. Unlike the National Investigative Agency or the NIA, which was set up by a proper act of the Parliament and can take up a case dealing with its scheduled offences, basically terror cases, anywhere in the country without the consent of the state government in question, the CBI cannot just operate wherever it wants, even in cases dealing with its core competencies like anti-corruption or foreign exchange violations. This comes from Section 6 of the Delhi Special Police Establishment or the DSPE Act itself, which says that the CBI cannot, and I'm quoting the Act, quote, exercise powers and jurisdiction in any area in a state, not being a union territory or a railway area without the consent of the government of that state, end quote. That being said, almost all states have given a general consent to the CBI so investigations don't turn into a logistical nightmare. And this won't have any bearing on ongoing cases like the Sushant Singh Rajput case. But does this mean that the CBI can't operate in Maharashtra anymore? Vakasha explains to what extent this move can hinder the CBI's operations in the state and its limitations.
Okay, so what we've got to understand here is that there is no bar on the CBI's operation in the state per se, in the sense that, you know, it's not as though the CBI cannot now enter the state of Maharashtra and cannot investigate anything at all there, right? I mean, it's at the end of the day, what is being put down here is a requirement for the CBI to take permission before it conducts any investigation into a case arising out of the state of Maharashtra. And remember that, you know, going forward. Now, this is entirely in accordance with the DSPE Act. It's it's not an abuse of process. This is what the what that act specifies, because this is part of the constitutional scheme. Now, at the end of the day, yes, we'd obviously love for a situation where the CBI is not being denied access to any particular state, because that's what you obviously need to be confident that you have an independent investigative agency. But then at the end of the day, this is the CBI. And, you know, a sitting Supreme Court bench termed it to be a caged parrot of the government. And that reputation has not gone away in the 7 years since then. So, you know, there are so many political tensions at play that obviously the Maharashtra government may sort of be picky about which cases it allows the CBI to investigate or not. Now, does this mean that every case for the CBI to go to, you know, which it needs to investigate, which has something to do with Maharashtra, it's going to require that permission? Well, actually not, because there are sort of two circumstances under which the CBI would not need to get permission to investigate something there. And, you know, regardless of what the state government has to say, they would still be able to go to Maharashtra and conduct investigations. Now, the two circumstances are as follows. First is where a CBI investigation has been ordered by a High Court or the Supreme Court of India. Now, this is something which we've seen happen in many, many cases. And the Supreme Court has clarified that when this happens, no state government can object to the probe and get in the way of it. Now, this is, of course, why the Sushant Singh Rajput probe is not going to be affected, because the Supreme Court ordered this back on 19th August. So since they've already ordered it there, there is a clear case where, you know, the CBI can continue to investigate without any hindrance whatsoever. Now, the second type of case where the CBI can investigate without Maharashtra's permission is going to be a case where the offence which they're investigating arises outside of Maharashtra. So, you know, you've got an offence which has started, say, in UP, like this whole TRP thing. And it's now from UP, they found, oh, there's conspirators in Maharashtra, there's conspirators in Bihar, etc. You know, so now we have to go in there as well. Now, the Delhi High Court in 2018 had specifically said that in such cases, the CBI has to be given free rein to conduct its investigation, even if that stretches into a state which is not granted consent, or, you know, which is not granted consent even on that particular issue. The Calcutta High Court has also dealt with a similar case when it's come to central government employees. Now, the CBI, as we know, deals with corruption investigations. If there's a central government employee who's, you know, through the IAS posted in Maharashtra, does that mean that he can't be investigated now? No. I mean, well, that's at least how the way the high courts have looked at it. Now, this is not a settled position entirely in law. I mean, there's no Supreme Court judgment on this. There are two high court judgments which have kind of given the CBI this power. So it is possible that this could be a matter of contention. But at the end of the day, this does provide the CBI with another option to say, look, even though you've not given us approval, we can still go into the state.
And before I go on, I'd like to take a minute and tell you about a coverage on the SSR and TRP scam probes. From everyday developments to in-depth analysis, we've been working on impartial and informative stories on these issues. In a podcast, we often refer to the legal stories that we've done on each of these cases, which, if you've been listening to our episodes, you know is very integral to understanding where the cases are headed right now. So please do check out the law section on the Quince website. You can also find the legal analysis of the TRP scam probe on our show notes. But moving on, let's talk about the timing of this move. As we've said, this comes on the heels of the CBI filing a case to investigate the TRP manipulation scam on the basis of a complaint filed by one Golden Rabbit Communication in Lucknow's Hazratganj. And the CBI's move is already raising eyebrows given the effect that this might have on the Mumbai police's ongoing investigation, which has implicated Arnab Goswami's Republic TV and two other Marathi channels, alleging that ratings by the Broadcast Audience Research Council, or BARC, which measures television ratings in India, have been manipulated. Now, Goswami, who's been engaged in a slugfest with the Maharashtra government and the Mumbai police over both the TRP and the SSR probes, too had indicated his desire for the CBI to take over the case. Many are also speculating that it's falling into a pattern where the CBI is being recommended to take over cases from the Mumbai police to discredit its investigation, as they allege was the case with the SSR probe. In the SSR case, it was the Patna police that had recommended the CBI to take over the investigation. But the question is, how will all this affect the TRP probe? Will the Mumbai police have to end its investigation in the case now? The Quint has accessed a copy of the FIR registered at the Hazratganj police station in Lucknow, and Vakasha analyzes where this could possibly lead the CBI probe into.
Now, coming specifically to the CBI's TRP investigation, now, you know, the thing is, you know, especially as you point out, right, the timing is a little bit off. And if you were looking for any other reason to find it a bit suspicious, well, that would just be the FIR on which the CBI's entire probe is based. If you look at the complaint, which forms the basis of that, there is no mention of any TV channel, any individual who was supposedly trying to bribe BARC households to watch a particular channel. There's absolutely no details about any of this. You know, if you look at the one which the Mumbai police is looking at, they had first already arrested someone who they'd picked up on the basis of confidential information. Then they got a complaint by the general manager of a research agency which is affiliated to BARC, which does this assessment. And, you know, they had him explaining how their audit team had also found irregularities, had found this to be the case. And it has details of one of the people who was going through this, how he was getting paid, the amount of money he was giving, some of the channels which he was reaching out. All of this was there in the FIR. Now, again, it's not necessary that you have to have as much information, but the CBI one is truly ridiculously vague. I mean, this is, and I'm going to read out what is in the FIR there. It says, and I quote, I have reliable information that certain unknown accused have, in furtherance of a common intention, entered into a criminal conspiracy to cheat and also commit the offense of criminal breach of trust, forgery, and in the process, gain wrongfully by manipulating television rating points, commonly referred to as TRPs. There's pretty much no information. I just said, I have reliable information. You know, and then it's just like a sort of a tick box exercise for the police to be able to say, oh, look, you know what, there's common intention, criminal conspiracy, cheating, criminal breach of trust, and forgery. All the things which they want to say in the FIR. And so that's it. The rest of the whole complaint is just this whole explanation of the TRP process and what BARC does. You know, so the fact that there's such sketchy information in the FIR is definitely something to be a bit concerned about. But for the CBI, this is actually really great, because the fact that it is so sketchy and so ambiguous means that they will be able to use this as a way to kind of use that second argument, which we talked about earlier, for how the CBI can operate without any consent from the Maharashtra government. They'll say, look, what we have here is this conspiracy which began outside of Maharashtra. So even if there are elements within Maharashtra, we still have the ability to probe, go and look at those high court judgments. So that's sort of the approach which we can expect them to kind of use. And the vagueness of the FIR is what really helps them there. Because if we look at the rest of the FIR, there's pretty much no other details. It's got an additional ground of forgery, which the Mumbai police are not quite looking into. So, you know, it's certainly something which has given them the ability to have such a broad-based FIR that they can use that loophole, use that sort of high court judgment, which the loophole which that creates, and use that to say that, you know, even if you've not given us any permission, you've got to still let us go here.
As far as Mumbai police's investigation is concerned?
When it comes to the Mumbai police's investigation, I mean, as we said, it's much more detailed. There's very specific things which point to how it's taking place within Maharashtra, who are the accused within there, and the channels which have been accused, and the households which have been targeted, which are in Mumbai. So the advantage for the Mumbai police is that, look, they've got a case which is dealing with offences which they found specifically, you know, stuff going on in Maharashtra itself. So it's fully within their territorial jurisdiction. This is not an issue which relates to the CBI's exclusive jurisdiction, you know, like anti-corruption allegations. So, or, you know, allegations of graft against central government or, you know, government employees. So essentially, this is not something which automatically is supposed to go to the CBI. It's something which a state government has full rights to leave it to their state police to do. And that's, you know, so entirely up to them to do that. Now, the investigation can continue technically without any hindrance from the CBI, even if the CBI come in and say, oh, look, we're also investigating our broader thing which comes into play here. So there should be nothing. The central government can't say, oh, you got to stand down. The CBI can't say, oh, you got to stand down. The problem, of course, is what if the High Court or the Supreme Court does? As we pointed out earlier, this is a very key thing when it comes to CBI investigations, because if there's a High Court or a Supreme Court order, then even without consent, the CBI can go in and investigate. And the thing is here, they could also potentially take it away from the Mumbai police. That's what we saw in the Sushant Singh Rajput case, if you remember, where that had led to the CBI saying that, look, we are going to take over the whole case. The Supreme Court had ordered them to do so. Now, there are, of course, some differences between the two cases, which means that it's not necessary that that has to happen here as well. The first problem, of course, is that this isn't something which is just a hypothetical. The Bombay High Court is already having to look at this as a question, because Republic filed a petition first in the Supreme Court, then they were sent to the High Court. Now, in the High Court, their petition was mainly about sort of the summons being issued to their staff. But they also had a prayer where they were asking for the case to be transferred to the CBI and for the CBI to take over the investigation. Now, if the Bombay High Court agrees with their submissions, then that means the CBI will get it and it'll be taken away from the Mumbai police. As we pointed out, however, this is not something they have to do. Just because the Supreme Court, in fact, did it in the Sushant Singh Rajput case, that's not a ground here for it to be taken away from the Mumbai police, because there were very different circumstances out there. First off, on facts, the Mumbai police hadn't even started an FIR there because, you know, they were doing the regular process for probing a suspicious suicide. Or, you know, just probing a suicide there, which doesn't necessarily lead to an FIR. So that was one key difference. The other key thing is that there, the reason the court actually gave it over to the CBI was not because they were just looking into it. It was because there was this whole fight going on between the Patna police and the Mumbai police, which had led to so much of a, you know, public spat. And, you know, the government and the CBI eventually were all being drawn into all of it. So that was why the CBI was being looked at as a neutral agency to take it over. That's not the case here. And so it's important, you know, there's no obligation for the court to hand over the investigation. Of course, now, you know, they as part of it, they've called for all the records of the investigation, because essentially Republic is trying to say there's bias in the whole investigation, so the Mumbai police cannot do a fair probe. The Bombay High Court is going to be looking at the investigation materials and taking a call on that. That's going to happen at the next hearing, which is on the 5th of November, or you know, in subsequent hearings as well. So that's the key thing actually here. To decide the fate of what's going to happen to this investigation of the TRP scam is going to probably come down to what happens in the Bombay High Court. So we're going to have to watch and see there. Maybe, you know, if the Bombay High Court, for instance, says, no, we're not going to transfer it, then potentially Republic and the CBI could approach the Supreme Court as well. But we'll have to see, obviously, if that happens and how far this goes along. In the meanwhile, of course, the Mumbai police has full rights to keep going on. The CBI also have a lot of workarounds to be able to ensure that they're not affected by this order of the Maharashtra government. So, I mean, that's sort of where we stand on the legal matters.
To sum up, as Vakasha said, technically the Mumbai police's investigation deals with offences committed within the state, while the CBI scope is larger. As a result, it's possible that both could go about their probes without getting into a fight with each other. However, the fate of this issue now rests with the Bombay High Court, which will be conducting its next hearing on 5th November, so stay tuned to The Quint for further developments. If you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to the Big Story playlist for episodic updates. We'll have on Apple, Google Podcast, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quint website and check out the podcast section. For any feedback, shoot an email to podcasts@thequint.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quint's website and check out our other podcasts.